morning. In the absence of a chair, can I have a nomination for a chair, please? And a seconder? Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the Performance Review and Scrutiny Committee. I'd like to start off with apologies.
We've got apologies from Councillors Winchester, Parry, Baird, Alexander, McCall and Johnston.
And the agenda from the last meeting. Is everyone happy with that? Okay, could we start off with the 5.1 various inspection reports, and that's Acting Director of Resources, Kevin.
Thank you, Chair. This report is a compilation of a range of reports, as you indicate, across the services of education, children's services and adult social care. These have been reported to Cabinet previously on the 21st of May, and the report notes the respective outcomes in relation to each of those, and indeed colleagues here from the respective services are available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Do we have any questions? Noted. Thank you. 5.2, the annual complaint handling report by the Chief Executive.
Thank you. The purpose of this report is to provide PRS with the annual complaints handling report for 2017-18, and a full copy of the report is also included in Appendix 1. Section 2 provides the background, and Section 2.2, the annual report itself. And as we are committed to both continuous improvement and favouring an evidence-based approach, it was interesting to actually drill down further to see what we could improve on within the complaints themselves. It's also interesting to note that Midlothian, we have 59 complaints per 1,000 population, and this is much higher than both similar authorities who have 16 and the Scottish average of 11 per 1,000 population. Interestingly, of the complaints received, 75% were upheld, showing that the complainants were actually right to lodge their concern, and showing if we get it right first time, we could actually significantly increase both our citizen satisfaction at the same time as saving money on resources. Drilling down further, I thought it would be interesting just to share that 5,202 of the complaints received, 71.33% of these complaints were actually related to waste alone. And when drilling down further to ask what the concerns were regarding waste, they were principally about a bin not being collected or emptied properly. So as a result of this important data, we're obviously looking to make improvements within that service area. It was also interesting to note that a number of those complaints still come in by telephone, meaning that's quite a lot of demand on the customer contact centre. So we're looking at other ways where our citizens can actually approach us to ask for us to improve a particular service area, looking at apps and so on. So the report concludes itself with two recommendations for noting, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Elected members, any questions? No questions, thank you. Move on to 5.3, Adult Social Care Performance Report.
Thank you, Chair. We'll just take you through some of the highlights and then we'll pause for questions. Obviously, we won't read through all of those. Integration's obviously been continue to be one of the significant areas that we've been focusing on, and are in the last quarter. Certainly, the Health and Social Care Strategic Plan for 19 to 22 has been developed and approved, and that was really including a major programme of public and staff consultation and compilation of a population health and wellbeing and needs assessment. There's been a range of different activities that have been introduced as well in terms of the middle of the discharge hub to help us tackle some of our longest delays. Things that other services have been expanded, such as our COPD respiratory team and the wellbeing services now being operational in all 12 GP practices. If I take us on to criminal justice, currently they've been relocated on a very temporary basis. They actually moved back on Monday. We're referencing in there the recovery hub, which council had obviously approved for that. You'll be pleased to note that the building has been delivered on time and the first staff moved into that yesterday. So the recovery hub is our building which co-locates staff from health, social care and the third sector who have responsibility across criminal justice, substance misuse and mental health. Staff are being moved in a phased basis rather than trying to move 100 plus staff in on one day. We're doing it on a phased basis. And substance misuse staff moved in yesterday, criminal justice move in next week, and then we've got a phase for the mental health staff moving in. So by mid-July, we will have all staff in. If any elected members would be interested in coming and visiting the building and see what we're doing and exploring that in a bit more detail, we'd be really happy to arrange that. Would want to thank Gary Sherritt and his team. They've worked really closely with us and have delivered a really positive building for us in terms of really meeting our needs and listening to the design spec that we needed. So would pass on that thanks as part of this process. You'll also be aware that we have undertaken a review of our unpaid work service, and that's now going from strength to strength in terms of how we can deliver on the outcomes for people who have a community payback order as part of their sentence, amongst them of that. So there's been a real positive in terms of how we're taking that forward. Technology remains one of the forefront in terms of how we're delivering and how we're looking at how we develop in terms of that digital maturity and how we move that forward, particularly using some of the business intelligence and analytics to in order to us to do some of our planning in an effective way. And we've also been, and this report I'm talking about, that we had submitted an application for some tech funding, would want elected members to be aware that we were successful in receiving that. So that's really about developing an electronic frailty record that supports multi-agency use in the management of our frail population, so we'll be able to update them that in more detail as we move forward. Within older people, you'll be aware that care at home remains one of our biggest challenges in terms of the delivery. You may have seen some of the social media activity that's been going on recently around how we recruit people into care, and that's not just within the council, but that's us working in partnership with the private and voluntary sector in terms of how we attract people into care and how we get them to see that that's a really positive career prospect for them and how we develop some of that kind of area around that. Other work has been particularly around developing a team within our care homes to really support them, so a multi-agency team that can help support our care homes to deliver the best quality care that we can hope to deliver in amongst some of that. Within mental health services, it would be about highlighting that we'd gone through a commissioning exercise at the end of last year, and from the 1st of April, Penumbra is a new service provider, and it's about a remodeled mental health community-based rehabilitation service, and that fits very much with us needing to redesign services to meet the changing redesign of hospital services for people with mental health issues centrally. And we'll look currently at this point in time to support the expansion of the mental health access point, which we've seen real benefits for in our local community in terms of how we deliver on that. At this point, I'm happy to stop for questions.
Thank you. Elected members, questions? I was just going to ask one about the average waiting time. It seems to be a bit off skew at the moment. Have we got any action being taken on that?
For social work and occupational therapy?
Yeah.
What I would say is what you'll notice is still off skew, as you say, but it is an improving picture that we've seen. So we did have up to, I'm just going to get the figures in front, the average wait for occupational therapy is now on trend. If we look at quarter three, we were sitting at 12 weeks for a wait, and 6 weeks is the average that we would be looking for someone to be waiting within that. We're still sitting slightly higher within social weeks, an 8 weeks target at this point in time, but again at quarter three we were sitting at a 12 weeks wait at that point. So there has been significant work that's been done for us to redesign how we're delivering on those, and we'll hope to be hitting those targets throughout the coming year. So we'd noticed the challenges that we were having and have significantly made some improvements in those. But you're right, it's still an area of challenge for us that we're continuing to monitor, but we with good work with the team, we have begun to see some improvements in those figures.
Thank you. No more questions? Okay, if we go into 5.4, Customer and Housing Services.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah, I'm pleased to present the report for the housing and homelessness elements and draw councillors' attention to some progress that's been achieved during this period, namely submission of the Rapid Rehousing Transition Plan to the Scottish Government that outlines a range of funding priorities for the next 5 years that will both help to prevent and ensure better outcomes for homeless households and contribute to our plans to end the use of emergency bed and breakfast accommodation and house those homeless applicants into more permanent accommodation more quickly, and also transform the model of support that's provided to those most vulnerable households through the development of a Housing First service. We should receive feedback from the Scottish Government in relation to the funding plan that we'd set out in the coming 5 weeks, I expect. So, secondly, we also for that period let 24 new build homes in Dander Hall, which is feedback from the new tenants has been really positive. So I'm pleased to report that back as well. And in addition to that, continuing to deliver valued homeless prevention activities within the schools. And also, you'll note, a successful pilot was delivered, an SQA pre-tenancy course to a group of young mums based in Gore Bridge, and staff are now currently rolling that out into our shared supported services for homeless households and also a small group of care experienced young people. Happy to pause and take any questions around the report.
Thank you. Questions? Councillor Hardy.
I can see there was a reduction in the amount of overpayments in housing benefit. I just wonder if there was any particular reason for there being a reduction in the overpayments, and if that's a trend that we can continue to see an improvement with, reducing the overpayments, and also also welcome that there appears to be a better rate of recovery of overpayments as well. So, and we're writing fewer overpayments have been written off, so it's good to see that there's that there seems to be some improvement in that area as well.
I mean, do you like to respond to that?
Sorry, I've now picked up the revenues team, which is if I were. Yeah, the team continues to work on that effectively. I think it's, we would, whether or not we see a continued improvement in that, but it is around trying to maintain those figures that you're already seeing. It has been a significant improvement, but there are savings against that service this year, so as we continue to try and achieve what we can in that area.
Thank you. Any more questions? Councillor Russell.
Thank you, Chair. Just a query regarding the temporary accommodation properties. I see that it's been off target, the average day for building services. Are we looking at now being back on target again? I know this is a very important issue because obviously a lot of this is very sensitive when we're looking at temporary accommodation, given the free flow of people in need of temporary accommodation. So can you give us some assurances that we should be back on track okay?
Thanks, Councillor. You're right to draw attention to that. The turning properties over very quickly for a whole range of reasons. Notwithstanding, households are presenting in crisis, so we want to be providing a very quick housing solution to those households. And there's obviously from a financial perspective, the rent loss for those properties. As set out in the paper, there are actions have been taken to provide some additional support to the building services team to deliver those void properties back quickly. Sure if colleagues are able to provide an update at present, because I'm not sure where that's at in terms of procurement, so possibly colleagues can update.
Kevin Anderson.
Yeah, just to add to that point, excuse me, there has been a lack of capacity in our procurement team over the past couple of months due to vacancies. That team is now at its full establishment as of yesterday with a dedicated procurement officer for the building and maintenance services in place. So there is an outstanding voids contract to supplement the team that are focusing on those properties, and we're aware from my previous role that temporary accommodation is the first priority across our vacant properties, precisely for the points that you make, Councillor Russell.
Thank you. No more questions? Councillor Smale.
I'm going to quickly look at page 201 of 446, 201. We're looking at collection of council tax. I'm a little puzzled as to the build-up of this, but if you look to the right-hand column, Midlothian, as is well known to the finance, the audit committee has been in the bottom quartile, right at the bottom quartile for a long time. I'm just wondering what the current outturn for the full year is expected to be, and whether we're making any progress with the amount of council tax owed by our own employees.
I'm afraid I don't have that level of detail with me, and I would need to come back to you with that answer, Councillor Smale.
Okay, let's move on to item 5.5, Children's Services. Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Chair. So this report gives you the update of the year's achievements within Children's Services. And as you can see, there's a number of headings there. There's the PACE programme, which Joan Trenent has talked about a number of times, about getting children to a really safe and secure destination within 7 to 12 months. And Midlothian is really doing well in terms of the PACE programme. You've also heard us talking about the 100-day challenge, and the 100-day challenge has now completed. And there's a review of that next week, and it's about how are we going to implement some of the ideas that came from the 100-day challenge, and that will also fit with the funding that we got from the lottery. Participation of young people, again, the headline there is about how we include young people in our designing of services and whatnot, and again, this is going well. Child protection, we always have that as one of our indicators, and our child protection now is sitting just about the national average, and it varies slightly month to month. You may have a family of four children come in and then one person drops off, but we're there or thereabouts in terms of the child protection. Looked after at home, again, we're slightly above the national average of that, but again, there's fluctuations there. And the looked after away from home, there are 139 children who are looked after away from home, both within and out with Midlothian, and it's significantly lower than previous. And the Scottish Child Abuse Inquiry is ongoing. You know, this is a national thing, but Midlothian, again, we have a team that are really supporting the work of that Child Abuse Inquiry. The challenges and risks are as set out. The budget remains an issue. Said here many, many times, I'm sure I bore myself saying it, that, you know, a youngster going into secure accommodation, you're talking about £250,000 to £300,000, and we can have one or we can have four. It just depends on decisions that are made by a sheriff or a children's hearing, and then that has to be agreed by our chief social work officer, which is Alison. Again, we've looked at our residential units. That's a report that's just coming up for information only to the council, and we've actually adapted our residential units to meet the needs of youngsters with disabilities, and this is actually working very well. But a report will come up just for information, but happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions? I'd just like to touch on something, if you don't mind. The adult protection training, the time scale is 27th of May, was 27th of May. Have all the foster carers received the appropriate updates and training on that? No, child, foster carers.
That's part of an ongoing training programme with our foster carers, so new ones that come in will be trained, and then people will be updated as we go along, so we'll pick people up as we go through the year. Yeah.
Thank you. Any more? Okay, let's move on to 5.6, education.
Thank you, Chair. This final report from education is based on our service plan from 2018-19. It's a comprehensive report and gives an overview of where we are now. I'd like, for the purpose of this, just to focus in on the school leaver stats, because they are the most current. They come out at the end of February. These are available on the second and the third page of the report, and they just address really what we're doing with our S4, S5 and our S6. We have a record number of leavers going into higher education. That's up 3% from what it was before. It's still down on our comparators and our virtual comparators, so we're working on that at the moment. We still have an increase in a number of those going in straight into employment, and that's well above our virtual and national comparators. Our positive destinations overall have kind of stayed roughly the same, but one of our focus areas, and you'll see that from the information gained in the detail in the report, is that we are focusing in on looked after children, our care experienced, and that's because our stats at the moment are sitting at 69.2%. So I've just come from a meeting with Skills Development Scotland and our LLE staff in order to look at that and make that a priority going forward. Overall, what this report shows you is that if we keep our pupils in to the end of S6, they do better in literacy and numeracy and awards. So that's what we're trying to do within education, if it's right for the child. In terms of our challenges, well, the challenges are noted there, and budget, as we know, still remains our challenge in our reduction in staff numbers. Happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Questions from elected members? Councillor Smelt.
Page 240, we look at school attendance rates and also exclusion rates. Again, an area where, if you look at the right-hand column external comparison, we've very often been near 31 out of 32 councils. Long-standing problem for Midlothian. I just wondered if you could comment on whether the New Battle School is experiencing a much better experience on exclusions than we're historically used to.
Hi, it's interesting this year, Councillor, that our exclusions in secondary schools have actually dropped, and that is in the main down to New Battle. It's dropped by 33% in terms of the exclusions, and that's down to obviously good leadership, but also a nurture base within the school that we've invested in order to reduce exclusions specifically within that school, so it's worked really well. So yes, is the short answer.
Thank you. Any more questions? No? Okay, let's move on to 5.7, Communities and Economy, Quarter 4 Performance Report.
Thank you, Chair. So you'll know that Communities and Economy is made up of seven different services. So as set out in the report, we've got updates for a year, the last year, from Building Standards, Planning Service, Community Service, Economic Development, Trading Standards, Business Gateway, Environmental Health. And there's a number of successes within these reports. So Building Standards have received the highest number of compliances and Compliance Plus awards for any Scottish Building Standards Service in Scotland, which has CSE accreditation. They also have Investors in People for a further 3 years. They're exceeding their 90% target for timelines and level of information, staff attitude and satisfaction with the service. So the Scottish Government National Customer Survey, which is separate from Midlothian, says the service continues to meet the challenge of a strong performer as set out in the nationally adopted performance framework and retains the sole verification within the authority of Midlothian Council. In terms of the planning service has determined 82% of planning applications within target. Planning permission has been granted for over 1,000 new dwellings. The 3.3 million has been achieved towards Pennycook Heritage Project. Then we move on to the community service. I can go through everybody's service, but as you can see, there's a huge number of successes in the last year in terms of working with the community, working with the third sector, 884,000 from the Scottish Capital Regeneration Fund. The Welfare Rights Service has exceeded its income maximisation targets and working with the Council on Community Asset Transfer. The Economic Development Service, again, a new manager was just appointed in February, but we've had formal sign-off of the City Region deal last year, formal collaboration, a five-year investment plan, the Midlothian Science Zone, a lot of really interesting stuff there, but other work to be done. Business Gateway, again, the number of highlighted the number of successes there. Trading standards, again, the highlighted successes there, and the same with environmental health. The challenges and risks that are set out in the report, again, a lot of challenges to do with budget, to do with staffing. Big things for us are fly tipping, noise, dog fouling, but happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, members? I just like a wee personal note. I dealt with the building control over the last year, and it was a very pleasant experience, if I may say. They very professional and very helpful. So I'd back up everything that's said in that report. Okay, if there's no more questions on that, we'll go into Commercial Operations 5.8, Quarter 4 Performance Report. Kevin Anderson.
Thanks, Chair. In terms of the Quarter 4 reporting across resources, this is reflecting over the past financial year, and there's a common theme in budget pressures and the financial sustainability against the demands of exceptional growth in Midlothian across each of the reports in turn. Relative to service delivery, I would highlight, without stealing any thunder from colleagues, that for commercial operations, we had 19 service priorities and delivered on 16 of those. Across finance, there was 24 priorities and 23 were completed or on target. And for property and facilities management, there are 23 service priorities and 22 completed on target, just to reflect the actual outcomes of service delivery for resources. For commercial operations specifically, the range of activities are detailed in the report. There's been a focus on addressing delivery of council staff travel. We've developed a waste strategy over the past year. The maximising of recycling has had a particular focus. Sustainable services continued through collaboration with our neighbouring councils, particularly in terms of road services. And we've also ensured delivery through partnerships such as the waste to energy facilities that are on site and operative now at Miller Hill. And also in terms of co-production with community partners for the range of volunteering that is delivered, particularly through Land and Countryside, but also through our Ageing Well services. Land and Countryside have expanded the range of events and indeed the income potential as a consequence of the activities at Vogrey Country Park, and that continues into the current financial year. There's over 10,000 hours of volunteer time that have been attributed to the Land and Countryside services. And also they engage through the service review outcome, with the outcomes from that being fed through into the budget setting process for the current financial year. Waste services were similarly subject to service review. They delivered in terms of the energy from waste plant, as I say. They've also increased in terms of the recycling. There's a rate of 51% across Midlothian. There is a target by 2020 of recycle it of 60%. So we're certainly en route towards achieving that. Clearly, there's a challenge in the coming year relative to the deposit and return scheme that's been announced by Scottish Government, and the logistics of introduction will then be taken through into 2020. We launched the Garden Waste Service, as members will be aware, early in 2019. That has certainly had a great uptake in terms of 15,000 households who've signed up for that service, which is now in operation and brought in an income rate of 550,000. We had a target of 60,000. There are still new entrants to that scheme on a weekly basis. In terms of travel and fleet services over the past year, there's actions in terms of reducing our carbon emissions and also in terms of alternative ways of travel, particularly for individual members of staff, but also reflecting that in our fleet and our vehicle assets replacement as we move forward. We also continue to access available grants in terms of ultra-low emissions vehicles. That's electric vehicles to you and me, and also looking at our charging infrastructure as a consequence of that, where we can again access separate grant funding in relation to building that up across Midlothian. Within road services, we introduced our decriminalised parking enforcement, and again, we're accessing grants relative to alternative travel for public purposes through CESTRANS, the Path for All, and our active travel strategy was agreed at council. And similarly, our Safer School Streets pilot was introduced and we're due to report to next cabinet and the prospects of expanding that scheme. For health and safety and resilience, there is an income generation being achieved in excess of 50,000 over the past year. This is in relation to activities that we'd otherwise outsource. So there's a saving to the council as well as a provision now this coming year into the private sector of the NEBOSH training specifically. And that team was also leading the Brexit planning across council in the past year. Happy to pause for any questions, Chair.
Thank you, Kevin. Any questions, members? No? Okay. Let's move on then to 5.9, Finance and Integrated Services Support.
I'll take that, Chair. The focus here, as I've referenced, was in terms of the financial strategy, that being delivered for the financial year 2019, with budget being approved. The other main focus in that service has been the action plan in relation to the external auditor's annual report that was presented to Council in October of 2018, and those actions continue to be monitored and progressed. We also had achievement in terms of our workforce strategy, where we are now, in terms of the attendance level, the second best in Scotland, with a reduction in our average days lost, which now equates to 7.5. We've also participated in terms of gender inequality through the Equally Safe at Work programme. This was launched during the course of last year, so we're one of the introductory authorities dealing with that. We've had development in terms of a range of people policies and also wellness and wellbeing, because certainly in terms of ensuring our staff are able to act positively for the impact on their health and wellbeing in what are definitely difficult times for the local authority in managing and changing how it operates and its delivery of outcomes into our communities. We also had delivery of our digital strategy through digital enabled projects, particularly through leisure management and cashless catering has been delivered. There's the ongoing programme of replacement of digital assets and on a weekly basis, our cybersecurity is being tested and responded to without any great impact, certainly as us as service users see, but there is a focus there within digital colleagues. The counterpoint to that is our achievement in terms of our annual PSN accreditation was achieved in recent weeks and delivery of our procurement strategy. Much as I've referenced earlier, there have been difficulties in terms of turnover in that team and we have been looking at, certainly currently we're up to full capacity again in the establishment, but longer term in terms of the resilience of that, we're looking at joint working opportunities with other local authorities in the future. And I will pause for any questions, Chair.
Thank you, Kevin. Any questions? I think the subject of the cross-border working with other councils came up yesterday at BTSG, and it seems to be something that I think most councils are beginning to accept now that we must go down that route, and I'd like to see that one pursued with vigour. So thanks for that report. Okay, let's go into 5.10, Properties and Facilities Management. Gary Sherritt.
Thanks, Chair. Same format, just following through the report and highlighting some of the points there. Within sport and leisure, through the year we developed and launched the strategy for sport and physical activity with its six strategic aims. We're currently going through a bottom-up service review for that service, which will drive out changes within that, hopefully continuing with the success of the frontline delivery of the service at the same time. To assist with that, the leisure management service Legend went live through the year, and the online service for booking and for payments went live in March just past. We continue to develop the involvement of volunteers, with 55 volunteers currently in the Ageing Well programme, which it really does equate to around about the £70,000 worth of value to the council. not suggesting that's savings, that's just purely if we had to do that, it would cost us in that sort of region for these 55 people's involvement. NHS funding has been secured for the Midlothian Active Choices, which through the year we've seen increases in the class attendances from the 2,170 from the previous year. That then leads on to conversions of Tone Zone memberships, so 141 out of the 212 are actually converted to full memberships as a result of being involved in the programme. Destination Hill End, the business case now complete and being through council, and obviously we're moving on to the planning process for that now. Through the year, three schools have been awarded the Sports Scotland Gold School of Sports Award. We also have got the new commitment to a partnership agreement with Sports Scotland for the active schools team, and they are moving now towards becoming self-sustaining. Within building services, we've had a year where we've seen the new Loanhead Centre open and been awarded the Community Development Project of the Year, which really reflects the extensive and detailed consultation process that we did in advance of delivery of that project. The new Newbattle High School was handed over through the year, and it again went on to be awarded Development of the Year for public buildings. So we had some major success for some major projects that we've delivered. We continue to see Scottish Water contributions. We reckon around about £500,000 that we've got to collect. That we've managed to save about 380 of that so far. Energy projects, the large sum of £5.6 million being secured since 2011, so we continue with that same theme and will continue through this year as well. Gorebridge Main Street was completed through the year, so the public realm improvements there. Whilst it says external window insulation programme in the notes there, it should actually read external wall insulation programme. Again, we've secured further £500,000, which is going into projects in Pennycook and Mayfield at the present time. The design, build and handover of the modular units for the expansion in the learning estate has happened at various locations, and again will continue through this current year. In facility services, the introduction of parent pay system, which is again an online, making things a lot easier and indeed hopefully more efficient recording and payment of the school meals. Training's been a focus in this area through the year, and again, that's leading to improvement and again, looking at the efficiencies that will be driven out from the staff having that training. As part of the early years expansion pilot, we've expanded the catering service to accommodate nurseries. You'll see there's a 7 nursery increase from February this year, and having spoken to the catering manager this morning, I think we're looking and planning for further 16 over the summer holidays. In challenges and risks, we obviously will be continuing with the bottom-up service reviews in sport and leisure. This will see a workforce reduction exercise, but we're obviously trying to ensure that membership and footfall targets are maintained, if not improved. Plans have continued to look to offload the halls and pavilions through working with clubs and existing tenants on a community asset transfer basis. The Active Golden Years membership, which did suffer a bit of bad press around the time when we increased the prices, has now recovered, and we're looking at a bit of stability within that membership, which is good to note. But overall, the Tone Zone direct debit membership now sits at 5,300, which is at a peak in recent times. Within building services, we're continuing our challenge against the rise in costs there. We see that not just in terms of our own procurement, but when we go out to contract, the general marketplace is seeing an increase in procurement costs and tender costs. There is also, I suppose, the economics of that is that there is a labour shortage out there, so when we're trying to bring in tradesmen and we're trying to bring in consultant staff, it's a market which is very hard to get the best out there at this point in time. Likewise, we have a difficulty in just finding suitable new housing sites, but we are working with local developers in the area to take on their allocation of affordable housing, and that's been successfully completed at with Miller Homes so far, and the recent report to council has asked us to go out and do that with a further six sites, so that's ongoing right now. The learning estate strategy is a challenge in itself, insofar as we need to expand that to accommodate the new housing that's coming through, not just for the other developers, but also for our own social housing programme. And then we've got the underlying issue that Brexit continues to put a strain on the marketplace within building services. Facility service challenge is really dealing with high sickness absence and holiday cover. We really are suffering from that. And this week we're actually suffering for 450 hours worth of cover. That's just giving you an idea. It's about 20% of our workforce that we're suffering with. We are expanding, however, in the early years expansion programme. So with the backdrop of that sickness absence problem, we've also got to try and get new resources in at the same time. In property assets, we are looking towards an efficient electronic-based process, which has started with the asset valuations, where we worked with our finance colleagues, and so far that's actually proven to be beneficial, and hopefully will be, again, a far more efficient outcome. So I'll stop at that and take questions.
Thank you, Gary. Questions from members? Margot?
Thank you. Thanks, Chair. You mentioned on page 332 with regards to the Council House programme and that negotiations had commenced to purchase a land at Kippelaw to build a new school. And obviously, we knew that area had been identified. Could you advise us how long the negotiations will take? Because we seem to have been in negotiations for quite some time. And is this holding up the Council House programme for the former Dalkeith High School site?
Like any development negotiation, it does take two parties to agree, and it takes time for that. The benchmark that was set by the other party was exceptionally high and unacceptable to us at the outset, so we've had to do quite a lot of fast footwork to get to a price that's now acceptable for both parties on that one. But we are in the final throes of concluding that deal for the school site. The knock-on effect is not directly slowing up the Dalkeith High School site, because that we continue through the planning process in any case, but it does have an impact insofar as that's the catchment area for the school requirements in the area. And whilst that's not for my service to interpret, that's for the planning service to actually deliver on and see whether or not it can get a consent or not. We are still promoting that site and going through the process with our planning colleagues for the delivery programme.
Councillor Smale.
I'm going to refer to page 334. Just looking at the sickness cumulative numbers, heading to 9.64, almost 2 whole weeks in a year is the average sickness in this particular part of the council. It's more than I've taken off in my whole career, but there may be special reasons for that. Across the council as a whole, there are certain areas that are very good on sickness absence, such as education, but we seem to have remarkable inconsistency in the units like this and others like adult social care, where we never seem to be able to get ourselves into the top quartile, and I don't know what we can do to address this.
I don't have a simple answer to that, Peter. It's I've been discussing it again this morning, just what we can do and how we can deal with it. What we're actually finding is that we've got some of our head office staff now going back into backfilling the school kitchens, just because we have such a shortage of supervisors. We've got very unfortunate circumstances. We've got quite a number of long-term sicknesses, such as cancers and the likes in this service. It's particularly reflective in the catering. Now, if you have a sickness bug, you can't go straight back into work in a catering environment. You've got to take time away from it until you're fully recovered, so you don't transfer that in the kitchen. So, yes, we are suffering, but we are addressing it as much as we can with our HR colleagues as well, just to get short-term sickness absence trigger levels. We have regular meetings with them. I know there are some planned already this week as well.
any more questions from members? No. Well, Gary, I'd just like to say personally a big thank you to your department for the work that they're doing and the work that's going to come to fruition. Some of the projects are going to bring income into this council that's badly needed for the future generation. So I think you're going in the right direction. It's a very positive report, so thank you very much. We'll move on to item 5.11, Midlothian Council Performance Report.
Thank you. So this report provides an overview in line with the Single Midlothian Plan, gathering all of the information that's already been presented to you by officers from each of the service areas. The updates in this report are divided against each of the key themes of the Single Midlothian Plan, and officers are here if you have any questions related to this.
Questions from members? Nope. Okay, let's move on to 5.12, Balanced Scorecard Indicators.
Thanks. So this section presents the data in the form of the balanced scorecard. This shows that 24 of those aspects are on target, 29 are off target, and 42 where no data is available yet. 20 of those 42 relate, of course, to financial information, given that it's year end, and the unaudited accounts will be presented to Audit Committee in the last week in June. The targets and outcomes are broken down further for you from pages 367 to 389 of your papers, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Any takers? No. Okay, let's move swiftly on to 5.13, and that is the local government benchmark results.
Thank you. So the purpose of this particular report is to provide PRS with an update on the local government benchmarking framework for 2017-18. So a lot of what you've heard today overtakes that, because that's last year's figures. I'm pleased to say that it's been an improvement of 4% in terms of the indicators in the first two quartiles, but there'll be reference to that in the BV report, and we already circulated the draft best value report. So there's some key information in there about the areas that we need to improve on, particularly as part of continuing improvement for those areas that are already performing in the top two quartiles, but in particular those areas that are still in the bottom two. The full report is contained in pages 395 to 442 of your papers, and the report concludes with one recommendation for noting. What I will say as well is that this PRS, in the format where you see all of the papers in the current format that you've been having, we've listened to feedback, and as you know, we're moving towards data analytics. So when we come to the new quarterly reporting in quarter one, we'll be moving forward with a streamlined report, but you will have the interactive dashboards so that you can actually drill down, and Elaine's already been showing you through the Pentana system. So we'll try that for Q1 in the hope that actually it provides more information, but obviously both user friendly, and since we want to move towards being both paperless and data analytics, we hope that that will be an improvement on the current system.
Councillor Hardy.
The one specific thing that caught my eye was on page 440 under culture and leisure. It's the net cost per attendance at sports facilities. For the net cost to Midlothian for attendance is £4.29 per visit. Now, based on the 770,000 visits that we have, if we had achieved the Scottish average, that would have been a saving in that area of £1.2 million. And the best performing council costs 78 pence per visit. Now, if we had achieved that, it would have been a saving of £2.7 million. So what lessons can we learn from these other local authorities that are achieving those sort of figures? Because that is obviously a very substantial amount of money. It possibly would have resulted in no council tax rise this year, or indeed better securing other services, or indeed greater spending in other areas. So what can we do to try and achieve that level of saving?
So we've already started to go through that exercise. So Gary Fairley and Elaine have been pulling off all of the information from the LGBF, both about costs, but also just about effectiveness and efficiency of some services as well. Are we most efficient within the cost that we're allocating to that? So we've currently started to go through that in the hope that we bring that forward. It's not as straightforward as the Scottish average. So we've been looking at family groups. We've also been taking out some of the Highlands and Islands. So we've been separating off the things that maybe maybe skew some of the figures in order to give us, but our particular family group, which is group two, actually provides really good benchmarking information for us. So even just to bring in line with whether it's the lowest within the family group or the Scottish average, we're currently going through that process and we'll be able to bring that information forward, which we'll be building in both to the medium-term financial strategy, but just as part of our culture of how we use data to improve services and to bring costs down. And within the medium-term financial strategy, there's four themes. One of the themes is efficient and modern, and that's where the LGBF data will be feeding in directly to that. But you're absolutely correct in using that data in order to inform both savings and improvements.
Thank you, Grace. Any further questions on that? Okay, we'll go on to item six, private reports, of which there are no items, so only leaves item 7, date of next meeting, which is Tuesday the 17th of September at 11 a.m. Thank you for your attendance. I'll see you then.
Thank you, Chairman.